case we will be discussing is Washington versus Harper, which was decided in the U.S. Supreme Court in 1990. The question before the court was whether a judicial hearing about medication was required to satisfy due process for a dangerous convicted prisoner refusing psychiatric medications. Note that this decision only addressed prisoners' rights. In this case, Mr. Walter Harper was incarcerated in the Washington State Penal System, and on two occasions, he was transferred to the Special Offender Center, which was a state institution for convicted felons with serious mental illness. He was required to take medications against his will according to the Special Offender Center policy. The policy consisted of a three-person panel that included a psychiatrist, a psychologist, and an administrator. A majority was required to determine that the inmate needed involuntary medications, and the psychiatrist had to be in that majority. The policy also required that the inmate suffer from a mental disorder, be, quote, gravely disabled, or, quote, pose a likelihood of serious harm, close quote, to themselves or others, for an individual to be medicated against their will. The individual had a right to notice of the hearing, the right to attend, the right to present evidence, the right to cross-examine witnesses, and the right to representation by a disinterested lay advisor, and the right to appeal to the center's superintendent. The individual also had a right to periodic review of ongoing involuntary medication, and they could appeal to a state court if they wished. Mr. Harper filed a suit against the state, claiming that the lack of a judicial hearing about involuntary medication violated his liberty interests under the 14th Amendment, specifically substantive and procedural due process. The substantive due process issue was what factual circumstances had to exist before the state could administer medications against a prisoner's will. The procedural issue was whether the state's non-judicial mechanisms used to determine whether someone would be administered medications against their will was sufficient. The trial court rejected Mr. Harper's claim, but then the Washington State Supreme Court reversed the trial court's decision, concluding that a judicial hearing was necessary to administer antipsychotic medication to a competent, non-consenting inmate. The U.S. Supreme Court then heard the case. The Supreme Court ruled that Mr. Harper had a protected liberty interest in avoiding unwanted antipsychotic medication, but that this interest had to be balanced against the state's interests of prison safety and security. The court noted that there had to be a legitimate state interest in combating danger posed by a violent, mentally ill inmate, and that there had to be little dispute that proper use of medications was an effective means of treating mental illness. The court's opinion went against that of Mr. Harper's claims, stating that the Special Offender Center's policy did satisfy substantive and procedural due process, as the policy mandated notice of a hearing, the right to representation by a disinterested advisor, and the right to appeal to a state court. The Due Process Clause does not specifically state that there is a requirement of a judicial hearing, and Mr. Harper's liberty interest, when considered with the state's interests, was adequately protected by allowing medication decisions to be made by medical professionals rather than a judge. The Washington State Supreme Court ruling was reversed. It is important to note that Washington versus Harper does not require consideration of a less intrusive means, decisional incompetence, or a judicial decision before the forced medication. It also does not apply when a prisoner is forcibly medicated during an emergency for medical reasons, given the administration is of limited duration. This decision suggests that the U.S. Supreme Court would be inclined to accept a Rennie model of overriding treatment refusals of hospitalized patients rather than a Rogers model. Note that this decision explicitly addresses only prisoners. However, the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals later applied this approach to hospitalized patients in the state of Utah.